Hi, women. Before we dive in today, I need to name something important. This episode, along with all episodes that you will hear until our winter break in mid-December, was recorded before my birth, prior to mid-August. Since then, our family has walked through the unimaginable. Our son was stillborn, and we are in deep mourning. As these shows air, you'll hear and see me pregnant, which now feels incredibly painful and weird, given that you are holding the sacred knowledge of what came after. So please forgive the dissonance. These stories still deserve to be shared and heard. We welcome your prayers, your loving thoughts, and your support as we navigate this spiral of such deep grief. I hope you find resonance and nourishment in this conversation today. Thank you. If you're newly pregnant and feeling the pull towards a sovereign birth, or even just curious about free birth but don't know where to start, I made something for you. It's called the Free Birth Starter Kit, and it's totally free. This is a potent resource that lays out exactly what you need to know to begin your journey into autonomous pregnancy and birth. No fluff, no fear, just a clear, confident guide to get you oriented, grounded, and tuned into what's actually possible. Thousands of women have downloaded this kit and told us that it was the first time they really felt permission to trust themselves and to opt out of the medicalized madness. If you're wondering whether free birth is safe, legal, or how you could even possibly do this, start here. Go to freebirthsociety.com/starterkitoptin or check it out in the show notes below and download it now. Like I said, it's free, it's powerful, and it was made for you. Your reclamation begins here. Welcome to Free Birth Society. I'm Emily Saldea, and this is where we break the spell of medicalized birth, remember what's been forgotten, and rise together into our birthright to live, birth, and mother as sovereign women.
Welcome to the show, Talia.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here with you. And first, I just want to name thank you for being willing to talk to us at flipping midnight over there in Australia.
I think it's probably the only podcast I get up for midnight and get on because I've been looking forward to this for like a year or so. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't miss it. We've got a lot of birth stories and a lot of evolution, it sounds like, to share. So just take us away, because all I really know is that you have six children.
Six children, yes. So I had my first child. I fell pregnant when I was just 17, 18. So I was still a young pup and I was at a home, and it was just that type of pregnancy that I was kind of on my own, didn't really know anything other than Google and what the doctors were telling me. It was a pretty, like, around 32 weeks, she stopped growing, or like just wasn't growing. It was kind of like a high stressful pregnancy. So I feel like if anything, it was more my environment around me that was affecting my pregnancy, not so much my body or my baby itself. And so they wanted to like push for induction, and I like was like, I didn't want it. But then I made it to 36 weeks, and then I was just like in tears every day because of how much they were just like, she's not growing, we've got to push for induction, let's get her out. So I at least got to do it vaginally. And as soon as I birthed my first Egypt, I had a retained placenta straight away. And I know that was just because my body was like rejecting the induction itself. And they just tugged on my cord for like nearly an hour, pulling at it. It just was like, and me being like an 18-year-old in that situation, you just kind of almost just let them do anything because you don't know, I guess, what's right or wrong or what my rights and things are in those types of settings. My mum wouldn't have even been able to advocate for me, or my grandma, I think, was even there. Yeah, and I had my little sister and stuff. And then I think it wasn't like, because I teared with that. She was only tiny. She was only 1.9 kilos. And I still teared, but it wasn't even from the birth. It was from them pulling at me and tugging and not listening. And then I think they even shoved some morphine into my leg at one point that I didn't consent to. And like, then I even had a reaction to the morphine. And then I ended up having to get my placenta vacuumed out. So then all of these things that I didn't want to have, I ended up still having even after I birthed her. So like the epidural, I still had to have that to then get my placenta out. And so then even after my like epidural, I remember coming out of like theater and everything, and I was having a bad reaction to the morphine, and I was telling them like, I'm in and out, it's black and white and everything. And I remember it being like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they just put Egypt on top of me. And they're like, you can just try and breastfeed now. And I was like, what? I'm like blacking out. Like I'm fully just having like moments where I'm completely blacking out and going limp. And then like waking up being like drugged up. And they've just got her on me being like, here you go, you just had a baby. Like, here's your baby. And I remember just like looking at them and just being like slurring my speech and being like, take her off me. I'm going to drop her. Like she's going to just fully drop, and she's only this tiny little baby. And then I like remember it was just horrible after that, because it was anything I wanted was I wanted to be there to breastfeed. Oh, they fed her a bottle already. I wanted to be the one to first bath her. And then I'd get there and they're like, oh, we've already done it. Because she had to stay in the special care nursery for probably like 2 weeks. Which was annoying in a sense now that I look back at it too, knowing what I know now, because it was purely just for weight for them to feel happy to then let her go because she got to a certain weight that they, you know, were happy with.
So let's hurry and evacuate her from the thing that nourishes her to then put her in a plastic box.
Yeah.
And stuff her full of synthetic food so that she can then leave. It's pretty
sick. And it was. She literally was just this tiny little baby with such a swollen belly because they were just kind of pumping her and stuff. Yeah. And
how long
I just
ago
like
was this?
10, she'll be 11 this year. So yeah. So that was like, and then I think the most, like one of the most traumatic parts was like, not only it being like my first baby, but then you don't leave with your baby. I'm having to like have a baby. It's a traumatic birth. I have not been listened to or heard or respected in any way because I'm at teen pregnancy on the Gold
Girl,
Coast. And
you wouldn't have been if you had been 30.
No.
It's not.
Well, yeah, no.
They treat them all
true.
Like, you know.
It doesn't matter anymore. No. You're just kind of like an animal. And like, and then having to like leave and not be able to like bring her home with me and it just be over a weight issue. And I'm like, man, I just like love where I'm at now, because me now would have just been like, F this, like, give me my baby, we're out. My baby is good, she's healthy.
Actually, where you're at now is you've made their job meaningless to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't even be in a position that you would be telling them, give me your baby, because you don't even go there.
That's true. No, I don't. I don't. I will just like never birth a baby in a hospital ever again. And I'm so blessed that like my free birth was my like last pregnancy and last birth, just because it was like that big bang and like liberation. So it was like the best like ending, I guess, and blessing to end it like that. It was really liberating. My second birth ended up actually was quite chill for a hospital birth, especially compared to my first one. I think that then I was going into my second kind of thinking like, oh, it's probably going to be like my first, or like I feel like I planned more to try and like advocate for myself, but then it's like always goes out the window, I guess.
How many years later is this?
Well, I actually fell pregnant with my second like 3 weeks or 4 weeks after my first.
What?
Yeah, so they're only like 11 months apart. Their birthdays are 2 days apart. Yeah, so yeah, they're 2 days apart in November. So they're my Irish twins.
So had it occurred to you yet to not do the hospital thing because it was so awful?
No, and I think my biggest thing was just, one, I didn't really have women around me that were in tune with, I guess, themselves in that way that they'd be able to support me and guide me in the right way. So I felt like the hospital was still like just that go-to safest place. And with my older three, I was actually in a DV situation. So the hospital to me was the safest place.
Oh, okay.
Being in that type of situation, it was just kind of like, well, at the end of the day, I got fed and I was in a
way.
Yeah. I'm like, well, it's better than what I'm getting. So
the first three are the same dad.
Yeah. And it wasn't until my third that I was like, peace, check out, this is not working. Yeah, and then it liberated myself of that. And then I guess it just went in, aligned and went on to my path of like finding, I guess when I fell pregnant with my fourth.
Wait, hold on. So the second one was more chill.
Yeah, third, really chill.
But this adds, you know, with the fact that you were in an abusive relationship, adds a whole nother layer of, you know, your just where your mind is at. You know, of like you just said, you know, the hospital actually winds up in those situations offering a level of safety and control and order. Yeah, I think that's
that
makes sense.
It's like this weird feeling of like when you come from abuse or trauma, it's like you have a warm blanket, you get cared for, people come in and check on you, and you kind of feel mothered in a weird way. Like the closest thing to being mothered as an adult when you're going through so much, you're just like,
if going down is scary and unpredictable, you know, then of course. So then anything to say about the third?
Josiah, so my third, his was funny, but it was definitely me just not trusting my body and just wanting to kind of, same situation. I was just in such a bad environment and situation that I was like mentally trying to just like, come on, like I want you to come like now, like, and just trying to mentally like force myself into like birthing this baby. So I was just on and off with contractions for like days. And I felt like the more I tried, the more my body would resist. And then I got to a point where I think I was just the same for so long that someone suggested, like, just go to the hospital, go get checked, whatever. And then I went in and then they were just like, oh, well, we'll just break your waters. And I was like, oh, okay. And just, it's funny how, like, when I look back on reflection, how much I'm like, comply so easily. I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, we'll get the baby out. We can just do that instead of thinking about the actual process of it all. So then I think, yeah, he came in and he just popped my sack. And then Josiah was born like 2 hours later. So that just like went really quick. But that was still genuinely okay. Like I had, I changed hospitals. So that was my biggest thing, was I changed hospitals and it was a much better hospital. And the midwives were much nicer. And I think that's what helped too, is I never had a doctor or anything really come into the room. I only had these two young girls. And because they were kind of students, they just let me do what I wanted. They weren't really overly, like, I found the older ones were really textbook, like telling you what to do, like, or like gaslighting you, I guess. You'd be like, I'm feeling this way. And I'd be like, no, you're not. No, you're not, sweetie. It's to this, it's to that or something. It happened to me with Egypt's birth. I'd be like, I know my body. I can tell that I'm getting close. And she'd be like, no, usually with induction, it's like an hour, like a centimeter an hour, and kept gaslighting me. And then I stood up and I remember actually putting my hand in there and feeling Egypt. And I'm just like, I'm pushing. like I know what my body is doing right now. But no, my third and my second was so much, thankfully, so much better than my first, because my first was just so traumatic. So that really did just like help ease my anxiety a little bit. But once I did fall pregnant with my fourth, with Winter, we were living back down near Byron Bay. So I was surrounded more by what I was more aligned with and felt more supportive. So when I did fall pregnant with her, I did want that more natural birth. I was already looking into only birthing. They have a birthing center there that offers more of the natural way. So then if you do want the gas and air or anything like that, you've got to travel and get transferred. So that's what I originally planned.
What do you want to say about from 3 to 4? Because it sounds like there's this really big shift in your life. You switch partners.
Anything? So there was like,
yeah, because leaving
that age gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was massive. So like that age gap between my third to my fourth was 5 years. And I think it was just becoming that mum so young and going from kind of one toxic thing to then a DV relationship, falling pregnant 3 times, having no stable environment or household. And then I got to a point, I think when I had Josiah, my third, I was just like that kind of like waking up moment. And he was only new. He was probably only like 8 weeks old. And I just had that Bing moment. And I was just like, if I stay here, this is going to get worse. And I'm probably going to end up falling pregnant again, because that was part of like this whole plan to keep me kind of bound. And I'm not like, I was like a caged animal my whole life. So it was just so liberating. I went and just stayed with my mom and stepdad, and my father helped me out so much to get away from that situation. And then I stayed with my mum and just really worked on myself. I like tried the whole yoga thing, and I just did anything. I just tried anything. And leaving that relationship ended up with me having so many health issues now, like dealing with fibromyalgia and like different like CPTSD and mental health issues and stuff. So that was my focus then, to become like a healthier, more healed version, so then I could be like a better version for my older three, because I was just like, I was surviving. I was not thriving whatsoever. I was just like survival mode, and then trying to learn how to be a mum at like 18. And, you know, and back then, me and my mom, because of the relationship I was in, we didn't have like the best relationship. We also had that strained relationship. So I was very much alone, or felt alone. So then when I did leave him, it was just like that, literally like those videos of those cows that have never touched grass. So then like when they finally get to touch grass and they start jumping around, you see all the happiness. That's literally the closest thing I can like explain that feeling of like I'm free. And then yeah, I just like worked on myself heaps and moved home back to Mullumbimby, to where my dad is and everything. And that's where I met my current partner. And then I actually struggled to kind of fall pregnant with my fourth, which was funny because I never had issues with my first three. They happened so easy. So my fourth was more, I guess, planned. But yeah, I just remember feeling like safe and content in that chapter of my life. And it was my current partner's first child. So it was very special when I fell pregnant with my fourth. And I felt like I don't know, it was just like this fresh new beginning and chapter, and the older three were like probably like six, five, three-ish, but like getting older and stuff. So I was like, I felt like, I don't know, the timing was just so nice and right when I fell pregnant with Winter. And I just knew, it was funny because around the time I actually fell pregnant with Winter is I started studying becoming a doula. And I don't even know, like, remember really how that all started, but most of it was just wanting to advocate for women and doing the whole like helping them. And even like the death doulaing sounded really cool because I had lost my nan recently that year and everything like that. So it was kind of all around the same chapter, but then we dealt with the big floods that hit around the time I was pregnant with my fourth. And it was funny because I remember saying to my partner, I want to have like a stress-free pregnancy because of all my other ones. And, you know, I'm going to do everything so different with this one. And it was actually just so stressful. Like, we had to move complete, like, into, like, over the border, interstate. We lost all our stuff in the floods. We, like, we were just, like, everyone that was misplaced out of their homes in our hometowns. So we were like, well, we're going to have to just move away and start all over again. Which was a blessing in disguise now anyway because of where we are at now. And so we moved, and where we are, the hospital system, it just gets – I feel like it's like almost the closer – the higher you get up in Australia, the worse the hospitals get.
What do you mean the higher up?
Like the more you travel up the coastline of Australia.
Oh, like geographically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like towards the top of Queensland and stuff, I swear the hospital systems and stuff just seem to just get worse, or you hear worse stories like and everything. And I knew that the system up here was already horrible. And it was funny because I remember going towards my last couple of antenatal appointments with my fourth pregnancy. And I had this older lady midwife that I actually really liked because she used to make jokes to me like, oh, you know, if you go into labor, you don't have to tell us. And then like wink, like you can just like have the baby at home. And then like now, like I realize why, because the hospital is horrible, like horrible. And she was probably thought I was more like very much more capable of just birthing my baby at home, being my fourth. She was like, it'll be quick. You'll be fine. Like, you know, don't worry about it. Just home birth. And now I'm like, oh, I get it. I should have like listened more. I'm like, I get it. But no, my fourth birth was, I really, really didn't want to get induced. My biggest thing was just like, cause it's, I still just think it's wild how much they really just push and fear monger to just get you induced because it's more convenient and just quick and easy for them. Because then they can just give you a time and day. Like, they were just going to slip you in here and book you in here. And then
plus it's extremely profitable.
Oh, 100%. And what helped me with my rebirth with the twins is me choosing to have a doula. But it just so happens that the only doula that in my whole entire area rebirthed her own child just recently. So then I just knew that when I found her, I was like, I need you. I just need to pick your brain. And it worked out perfectly. But I just didn't know of any of those resources. And I think that's the biggest thing too, is like I was pregnant with my fourth. I'm like 29. So I was like 27 or something, 26, turning 27 when I had Winter. And I still didn't know what I guess my rights and things were when it came to just giving birth in a hospital.
Well, and like, brought up rights a couple times, and I just want to kind of pop your like fantasy bubble about that. It doesn't matter if you know your rights; they're not honored just because you know them.
Yeah, that's true too. It's like,
so really, what it is, like we said at the beginning, when you know your rights, genuinely embody your rights and understand them, you don't go to the hospital. You don't go to the system.
No, because you don't need them.
you know? Well, because you understand that your rights will be completely violated.
Oh, yeah. And
you know, this whole rhetoric in the doula world of like, just know your rights and everything will be fine is like a mega disservice to birthing women, because it's not true. And I mean, I've been at the bedside of literally hundreds of women who knew their rights. I knew their rights.
But it still didn't actually get them anywhere.
Well, sometimes it made it way worse. Because now you are like objectively non-compliant. You are pissing everybody off.
Yeah, and then it's like, let's argue. Let's
physically harm her. Let's take her baby. Yeah, let's drug her so that she's unconscious. I mean, it gets real bad.
That's where it gets like scary with the the fear mongering and everything like that. Because with my fourth, it was like as something as simple as, oh, you know, you're getting closer to 43 weeks. The your amniotic liquid is like getting very low now. So let's use that to fear monger the crap out of you, make you think that your baby's going to die. You're doing a disservice to your baby. You're going to kill your baby if you don't listen to us, if you don't get induced by this date. And then even once I gave in to like giving birth to her early and things like that, they're still not happy or anything anyway, because then they stuff you around and they just do what they want. I was literally in labor and everyone left. And I remember just being like, it's very quiet in here. It's my partner. And he's just like, do you want me to check if anyone's there? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm only like an hour or whatever into it. I'm just going to like sway and then see how I'm feeling type thing. And then it was quiet again. And I was like, okay, no, it's actually just really quiet. And it was only because a random doctor that was coming from a surgery that just like came into my room and was like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm in labor. What are you doing here? And they're just like, oh, we had crossover and I guess no one told us that you were even in here. And I'm like, oh, well, that's good to know. And like, so it was just all like going wrong. And then I was in some other random room laboring and then I didn't even want to be there. And then I ended up giving birth to a like hemorrhaging massively because I was induced. I know that that's what it was from. And just them just picking at me, prodding at me. And then because I hemorrhaged, it was like, oh, she's bleeding. Let's just invite 12 million people into the room, tell her that she can't do anything that she wants to do, pin her down, hold, like, basically just put their hand inside me, push onto my stomach, make me bleed more, traumatize my body more. And I didn't even get to hold my baby. Oh, while you, this is like my partner's first experiencing of birth too. So he's just holding our daughter, like dear eyes, just like, are you going to die? Like, because he's just like, I wasn't prepared for this. Like, what is going on? Like, and I'm over here just like worried about him. I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. Like, it's all like so worried about him. And I'm like over here just like bleeding. Like bleeding blood out of there, out of everywhere. There's all these doctors. And then I remember even at one point I was screaming at them no to get off me and they still wouldn't listen. So I swung a punch at the doctor because out of just reaction of pain because they don't listen. I'm like, I was fine. I would have been completely fine. Had they just left me and not touched me? But they were just pushing in my stomach and just like the trauma that they were just putting on my body and then holding both of my arms down. I just like went primal and I remember just convulsing and just like swinging my arms to just get them to leave me alone. Because as soon as they left me alone and left me out in like in the room and I got them out and I would only let the midwife I had there with me, I calmed down and my bleeding, it was just fine. But it was just them coming in and being like, you can't do that. You've got to be on your back and you've got to do this. And I'm like, I like know that that is like, I don't have to do any of that shit. But like you're in such a vulnerable situation and like I'm crowning and I'm trying to birth this baby and you're getting yelled at no and basically like abused and you're just kind of like fight or flight, what do? Birth the baby and comply or like just want to get it over and done with. I don't want to deal with this anymore. This is like traumatic. And then I just wanted to leave because I didn't want to do the vitamin K. I didn't want to do all the freaking tests that they want to do. And they're, let me bring in my student doctor. And do you mind my student doctor like touching your baby and feeling your baby and doing all these unnecessary, stupid tests? I'm like, I was so primal at that point. I remember them coming in and I'm like, don't touch my baby. I want to leave. I was like to Luke, I just want to go. I'm about to like growl at someone and like rip someone's head off because I was just so primal. And so I was really happy that like when I just remember getting my placenta because I was like, you're not touching my placenta. Had it in my bag and had my baby and I was just like, I'm leaving and I'm never fucking coming back to this, back to this hospital ever again. Then I fell pregnant with the twins when my now fourth was she was four months old when I fell pregnant with the twins. Yeah. It happened so quick. It was one of those times where we were like, oh, we just won't be careful that one time. And then I looked at Luke and I was like, oh, it's probably a baby. I'm like, sorry.
4 months.
I know. I'm so fertile. I'm like, I can't remember what they call it where you pop two eggs at once. Hyper ovulation or something. I don't know. That's what the doctor said. And because like I didn't even know that twins ran in my family. I intuitively knew though. And when I fell pregnant with the twins, I kept making jokes to my partner because we had just bought a new car and we had downsized one of the seats to accommodate for other features. And I always like laughed at him and I'd be like, oh, don't you think it's so funny that we went and did that and we're probably going to have twins and now we can't fit in our car. And that's really what happened. And then with the twins pregnancy, it was just much different. I just intuitively knew that I was like pregnant straight away. And then I confirmed just with like a pregnancy test so I could tell Luke about it. And I remember messaging him and sending him a voice message. And I was like, I'm pregnant and I'm not going to the hospital. I just remember that was all I said. I was just like, you cannot make me. I'm not going back there.
Did you already know about free birth?
It was around then that's when I started digging about it. It was literally like the day that I found out I was pregnant. I was just all over Google. I was just like, how can I have a baby at home without having to go to the doctor? But that was how naive and things and closed off to even just general information I was so unaware of that I didn't even know that even home birthing was a thing still. I just was told that you just go to a hospital, you have the child, you do what they say, you get the things that have to get done, and that's just what you do, Talia, because it's a hospital and they're doctors and they know best and everything. So it wasn't until...
But that spell was broken for you after abused for the fourth time.
Yeah, because I think I was spiritually just completely at a different stage of my awareness with my own body at that point too, because I went through such a big spiritual awakening after leaving my first kid's father and that life and that chapter and everything. So I think because I was more in tune with my body and how I felt and how my body felt, I knew that that was just abuse and that was just wrong.
Also, Talia, you were less available for abuse, right?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
In your evolution, you know, you were, I mean, that's kind of, I don't mean to sound insensitive in this way of framing it, which it might come out that way, but you were available for it. It was your blueprint at home. It was your
was all I knew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was literally all I knew. It's like, so when that's all you know, you go after
exactly.
It
of course. Too. It's yeah. what's familiar, you know, whether yeah. it's healthy or not. And most of our thermostat settings are not very healthy.
No.
And then leaving him and finding someone I will assume is safe.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Like,
and so then it's
like
no
360.
Longer, right. So now, then when you yeah. go back to that old paradigm that you're used to having, it doesn't land the same way. It's like, wait a minute, this doesn't fit into
yeah, 100%
my blueprint now.
Yeah.
Because I was like... thinking when you were describing your fourth birth, I was having the thought, it's so, I don't even know the right word. It's so strange to me that women will hear your birth story and have heard hundreds of hospital birth stories on this podcast, and they will still go to the hospital and birth. Yeah. And yeah. it like perplexes me in so many ways. And on that note, I will also say many women will hear your story and not go to the hospital. That's also happening.
Yes, that's also, you know? Yeah. It's like that two sides of the coin type story. It's like you can literally, though, a lot of the time sit and blatantly be like, I've been abused. This all happened. Don't go there. Blah, blah. 9 times out of 10, they're just going to be like, I'm just still going to go there.
Well, what happens
until they learn themselves, I guess.
What happens in my coaching a lot is women will say, you know, I listen to your podcast. I listen to all the stories. And I basically just made up like that it just won't happen to me. And then it did. And so now here I am, you know, to process that. And so there is definitely yeah. a track of women who, yeah, are owning that and reflecting on it and making different decisions. So 4 months later, that's really wild. And you don't yeah. even know about free birth yet, but you know where you're not going.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was just like, I will birth in the car. I will birth anywhere else. I'm not going back to the hospital. I'm like, I didn't even want to go and get confirmed really, but it was more just for my partner. So then I ended up going and just getting a blood test at just a normal doctor's. And at that appointment, it was hilarious because he was like, yes, you can, like, you're pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Well, how old's this one? And then started asking about winter because I was breastfeeding. And he was like, oh, well, I guess now because you're pregnant, how old is she? Nearly 6 months? Oh, she can just get off the boob now. Oh, she'll be fine. We'll put her on formula. And just kept pushing formula. And just must have thought I was a complete idiot too, because I was just like, you've messed with the wrong breastfeeding lady. I was like, don't tell me that formula is better than breast milk. My breast milk is alive. It is golden milk. I was like, I'm not having this argument with you. You're using the fact that I am pregnant, try and push your formula onto me so you can profit in some way. I'm not doing this with you today. I just needed to get my pregnancy confirmed. So I got into this massive fight with him because he was just trying to basically belittle me as a mother because I chose to breastfeed now that I'm pregnant. Because apparently breastfeeding while pregnant is so dangerous. I didn't really know how to do it for myself yet, but I wasn't wanting to get antenatal appointments. I wasn't wanting to even go to the hospital for that. I remember asking to get my referral done purely just because I didn't know. I just wanted my name to basically be in the system just in case if I needed help when it came to the birth certificate. And just that process of things. I knew that I was never going to actually birth in the hospital or go back there. But actually, I remember going to the hospital for that first initial one because they say you've got to go to the initial one to then be in the system or whatever. And I was feeling like a bit cocky, and I remember being in there and she's like, all right, so what are your plans for this one and everything? And I'm like, well, I'm not birthing here and I'm going to be birthing at home. And she was like, oh, what? Like with a midwife. And I was like, no, just by myself. And she's like, just went quiet. So straight away. And I'm that type of person that kind of like wanted to say that to get the reaction, to see what she was going to react and everything. And just basically, and then that's when she, I think, was talking about, oh, you're wanting to birth at home, free birthing, or are you wanting to home birth with like a private midwife? And I was just like, no, just like by myself. I trust myself more than I trust this hospital and you and all these other people. And I've only come in here today to just like get in the system, basically tell you that. And because they just kept calling as well. They will just call relentlessly and they'll just keep going. And I was just like, no. And actually the fear mongering and everything got 10 times worse, obviously, when I found out I was pregnant with twins. Because as soon as the hospital found out, it was just, you need to have a C-section.
How did that happen?
I asked for a scan for myself, and that was to confirm at the, I think it was 22 weeks. And it was because I wanted a confirmation that it was twins, just because I had that like inkling that it was. And it being like my partner's second pregnancy, technically, this was still kind of like all new for him, whereas I was at that other end of the spectrum of wanting to feel liberated and go against the system. And he was still almost kind of needing that reassurance, and everything was still so new for him. And he was really just like saying, all right, I'm just going to trust you, Talia, and just put all my faith and trust in you, and you do what you want. And that was just like amazing to have like a partner that was just kind of like taking out how he felt from it and just being like, that's what you want to do. I'm just going to support you, and we'll just do it. We'll just sort it out, and we'll just focus it. So it was that scan that I went and got that confirmed the twins. And obviously they sent it straight to the hospital behind, like, and told them straight away. And then I had my phone blowing up, and I just told them, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if there's one, two, I'm like, I'm birthing a room. I even remember Luke, it was funny after finding out it was twins, because I think too, I just picked up energy wise, I had twins. So it wasn't a shock for me. It was a shock for him. He needed time to digest and everything, but I was laughing about it. But like, I was getting signs and things from spirit for so long that it was just funny to me at that point. So when I went in for the confirmation and everything, I was just like, has not changed any of what I want to do. If anything, it makes me want to birth at home more, because I know now, having twins, what that means to the system and how much that like they profit and benefit off a traumatic twin birth. So he was just like, what are you going to do now that there's two? And I'm like, birth them at home. And I will find a way, because I looked into the private midwives that do home births in the region that I'm in, and no one will go near you if you've got a twin birth. And then you've got to pay double because you've got two babies. And I was just like, I don't need all of these things. And I feel like a big lesson for me growing up was always needing something external to validate how I'm internally feeling. And with this pregnancy, with my twin pregnancy, I was just didn't need that. I was like, I don't need anything outside of myself. I only need myself to birth my baby. That's it. I don't need external validation. I'm like, I just remember setting my mind and my faith just never, I never had like a, anytime anyone was like, are you scared? Are you worried? Or this and that? No. Well, with the pregnancy, just the simple fact that like I'm a negative blood group. I was meant to have like my anti-D injections. I was meant to like, I guess they considered me even being a high risk pregnancy because I've had an eating disorder, and my first being such like a small birth weight and my health conditions and everything. So being like a twin pregnancy and wanting to birth at home and going against like basically everything that they wanted me to do, I was just like, nope, not doing it. And then I found my like doula that was just like so amazing for me, but because she free birthed her own. So it was just great to have that like that other woman that was like super supportive that had also experienced it herself. So it was just so good to have her wisdom surrounding like free birthing, and she had great connections and stuff. And so I just really focused with my pregnancy. Is I literally just listened to all of the episodes, especially on your podcast with the twin births and any NTD. I just dove into my own own humble bliss of just like my own information and what I felt aligned with me and what felt good for me with how I was feeling with my babies. And I didn't feel that I needed to go and get all these checks and all of these unnecessary things. I felt so like out of all of my pregnancies, it was like my easiest pregnancy, my easiest labor. And I like a lot of it, I reckon, is to do with just the simple fact that I was mentally just so much stronger and like content in like my knowing of what I wanted to do. And I had like set that intention and like set that up. Like I was just, this is what I'm going to do. Nothing or anyone outside of that can sway my decision. And then I just chose to do it. And my doula was about an hour and a half drive. And the day that I actually went into labor, because I was still breastfeeding throughout my whole pregnancy, I was kind of getting pre-labor contractions and pains like every time I'd breastfeed. So I just kind of would brush it off and I'd just be like, it's just because I'm breastfeeding.
And what gestation did you go into birth?
I was 40 weeks and 4 days. Yeah. So I was close to going on to that 41-week mark.
And was this your first spontaneous labor?
No. So my second was my first spontaneous labor. And I feel like because I was living at my mum's and I was in like a safer environment, and that just happened so naturally and just like in my sleep, just woke up in labor, a couple hours later, had a baby. I just did not kind of believe. I went to put my daughter to sleep, so that's why I was getting those like little ninjas and pains. And I was like, I'm just going to ignore them because I do this all the time and I'm not giving into my like brain right now. So like I kind of ignored it, and then they started to get stronger. And then I remember being like, I'm not telling anyone. So I went into my bathroom and I'm pacing back and forth. And I'm like, okay, if you can do like an Indian squat and you're fine, Talia, your prob's not in labor. And I like remember just doing this like Indian squat, and like I did one squat and I was like, and the baby's gonna come out. I was like, let's not do that again. It was like, I honestly feel like that probably helped and opened up my pelvis so much, because after that I was like, yeah, well, definitely in labor. And I came out and I was like to my partner, and couple of the kids were home actually, and I was like to my partner, oh, probably in labor, don't know, but I'm just gonna go have a shower. And so he was like, all right, I'm gonna get the pool ready, because I really wanted to have a water birth for this one. So we had a pool that my doula had gotten for us, and I had like a nice little area set up, and so they were getting that ready while I was in the shower. And I was like, oh, I'll just message my doula anyway, let her know. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm in labor, but just come now because you've got to drive. And I even said to my mum, you know, like, I've got some of the kids home, so you can come too. It's a 40-minute drive for my mum. So I was like, come to. And even she was like on the phone. She went to like second guess me. She's like, are you in labor? And then it was like a contraction happened. And I was like, in labor. I was like, please, you just come or don't come. And then I remember just getting off the phone to her, and Winter had woken up at that point. And I just, the labor was different. It was different in a way with the pain that like it was painful, but it wasn't like the other ones where I was like, I'm in pain and I'm dying. It was just never that feeling for me. It was like ease. It's hard to even find, I guess, the words, because I don't want to say it was like easy, but it was just, the contractions were just different. There was no real pattern, and they were coming on so fast and strong, but it was something that I could handle. And the space that I was in. And something that was different with this is I never went through that transitional phase or anything that women, I guess, talk about and stuff, that I didn't have that with this labor. And I didn't push or anything either. It was just so natural because I think I just let my body do what it needed to do. Like, I just remember, and then they were filling up the pool and I was just like, at that point I got back out of the shower and I was just in the lounge room, and it started around 12:30 lunchtime and the pool was still getting done around 1:20-ish. And then I remember this feeling like those cats, when the cats go to birth and they look for like a dark corner, that was probably that moment for me where my body knew that I was about to birth, because I was finding that place, because the pool was still getting put, like, done up. I was kind of like, oh, this happening really quickly. And I never got that urge to like poo. It was literally like I needed to pee. I just kept feeling this weird, like, I need to pee. Like, I've been holding a pee in for a really long time and looks like you're having a baby. And I'm like, but I really need to pee. So I kept trying to go to the toilet, and then this like voice inside my head was like, just have a little like feel. And so I went to feel, and of course I was crying, and like I didn't need to pee. I was birthing a baby. And then I was like, oh, Luke, is the bath done? I was like, because I'm not birthing this kid on the toilet. I was like, and I could feel that it was, she was still like in her sack. So he like waddled me to the pool, and my son, my 8-year-old son, was filling it up. And I jumped in and I just felt like instant relief in the water. It was like amazing. And I swear I was probably only in the water for like 5-10 minutes. And then I already was just getting like these urges, and I just like laid my head over the side of the pool, and I just, it was like I was kind of like not sleeping through it. It was like this weird out of body experience. And then the old like programmed version of Talia wanted to be like bearing down and pushing, because you're just so used to like the women in your ears telling you how to birth and what you should be doing and don't do that and you can't do that. And then this other voice was just like, don't push, don't do anything, breathe. And so I just stopped, took a big breath, and then two like little contractions, and she just like flew out. And it was my girl, which twin A, I knew that she would be born first because I had a feeling that she was like my big baby, like my big twin. And she was born in Carl in her sack. And I remember her, like, my cords were quite short, so I remember her just kind of floating there. And I really underestimated how slippery sacks are, because then I couldn't even, like, I was like, couldn't even really, like, catch her. And then I ended up being, because my partner was, like, trying to record, and it ended up being, like, put the phone down, you're going to have to help me open the sack up just so I could hold her, because my cord was so small. So then he helped me rip her open, and it took a bit to like open the sack. And then I just remember putting her on me, and it was just nice because it was just quiet. It wasn't like some quick screaming baby or like people rushing to touch me or touch the baby. It was just like this moment of me just doing it. And I think I was just so into it. I remember like my son going, where's the blood? That's literally like, he was just like, I'm confused. There's no blood, because there was literally no blood. There was no blood in the pool. It was just as clean as anything. The sack just like as ripped off, we just floated, and she had so much of that like white yumminess all over her body. And she was just happy looking around. She didn't need to breastfeed straight away. She was just content. My cord was quite small and I didn't have much time between contractions. I remember checking and seeing, oh yep, that's the girl, and kind of she only just made it to like here, so I had to kind of rest her like that with one arm, and then I put my other hand down to feel, because I was like, oh okay, it's like been a minute or two. And so my contractions started straight away, and then my 1-year-old was like having a tantrum or something. So then I was like, get her in, because she just wanted to be in the pool. So I was like, get her in the pool. So I got her in the pool and she got to see her little sister while I was basically then birthing twin B. And it's funny when people are just like, oh, twins, we just assume, you know, it's like double the pain and all this. I'm like, no, my body knew with the second that thing just, it's like a tic-tac, just out. I'm like, no, man, like by the time the second baby was just a breeze, I was like, but it all was a breeze, really. It was just crazy how like euphoric that experience was for me compared to all the other experiences I had and how much easier it was on my body when I let my body just work with baby and do what it was meant to do.
Well, and when you're in a safe environment.
Yeah, yeah, I was. I was just in my little bubble and nothing could upset me. I had everything that I needed around me. And I remember the twins were only like, I think 4 minutes apart. I had like one, I had Aura at like 1:58 and then by 2:02 Soul was out and I was just holding them because of this. I didn't want to cut their cords so quickly. It was probably like 5-10 minutes, but they were just, it was just so short that I like was just hunched over in the pool. And so I was like, got my partner in to cut them and everything. And it was really cool because I knew with my placentas as well that they were going to be fused together. I just had this crazy like idea that they were going to be fused together. And my placentas must have just naturally just like detached as twin B was coming out. Because as soon as like twin B came out, my placentas just came out. Just followed. And it was funny because I was holding them like this in the pool and my placenta was just sitting inside of me half and I'm like, I was just so in like indulgent in all of this. And then I remember my partner being in front of me and my doula had just arrived and she's like just walked in the door, so all she saw was his back and she's like, what do you need me to do, blah, blah, blah. And then he moved and I was like, nothing. I've done it. Like, I've birthed them. I'm like,
baby, grab a bowl.
Yeah. I'm like, can you grab me a drink?
Yeah.
like I had some after ease tinctures just in case and just more like to ease my mind and whatnot. But I felt so good, like within my body and how I felt. And I didn't lose like much blood at all. Like, at all. It was just like so amazing. And then I remember being in there and then getting Luke to start taking some of the babies and everything. And then my doula asked me about my placenta and I was like to Luke, do you mind just going up? Do you mind just having a little feel down there? Because I know it's there. I'm like, she's happy and healthy. She's already come out, but she's just been like just sitting there. And I've actually got photos that I'll send you, but it was really cool. It was, you could see, I'm guessing, which was my smaller twin, was about this one and then the other one was like that and it just like was like a infinity loop and it was just so cool. And then I wanted to weigh them purely just out of curiosity because twin B was 6.5 6.5 pound and my girl was 7.9, so she was nearly 8 pound. So I was just like, so it was just one of those like moments where it was just so many little moments and glimpses of like, this is why you like chose to listen to yourself. And this is why you made those decisions because of like, look at all of this that happened because I chose to listen to myself and choose what was the best care for me and my babies. And the simple fact that like, those babies were that big and lasted that long in the womb and were completely healthy and chose when they came earthside. Whereas if I had listened to the medical advice, they were pushing for C-section at like 35, 36 weeks.
And then how many weeks in NICU?
Yeah. And I'm just like, that just does not make sense to me. Why do you want their lungs to develop more? So we pump them full of steroids and we get them out earlier So their lungs don't even develop more. And then now they've pumped with steroids and all this other crap.
The deepest misogyny expression of our culture. You know, it's like, get them out of the mother's body. The mother's body is the flawed, incompetent machine. Get them into our machines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's something that they can control once it's away from us.
And like, profit from.
Yeah, profit from, control and profit. And the fear mongering that I got once I found out that they were twins. And even after I was just like, so now they find out that I free birthed them at home and everything, I still get like the whole like, they could have died and this and that. And I'm just like,
yeah, they could have died at C-section and NICU too, you dummies.
getting born 10 times earlier. And you know what? We're healthy and beautiful, and they were born just so, so healthy and gorgeous. And like, I didn't have to do any of that testing afterwards. I said no to everything. And like, so many people were just like, oh, you know, like, have you done like your checkup appointments and like all these things? And I'm like, yeah, I checked them. I'm like, they're fine. I'm like, I don't need to take them to a doctor for the doctor to tell me they're fine. I'm like, they're not sick. They're completely healthy. They're on me. They're like putting on weight. I'm healthy. Like, I just felt so good after I birthed them as well. And it was just like the best I ever felt. And I mean, my labor literally was only an hour and a half for the twins. And they were only like 4 minutes apart. And just so straightforward and just so easy. And I'll just always just laugh so much at that like comment with my like son just being like, where's the blood? Like waiting for like the gore or waiting for like the scary bits. And I'm like, this is it, man. This is how nice it is. Like, this is how it like should and can be. Like, all the time, if we're just left to just do what our bodies are born to do. Like, and it was just amazing. And I am blessed too with like it being my partner's like second birth experience was his first, like, with me free birthing and everything, because now that set him on that like expectation of saying, yeah, we're not going to the hospital ever again, we don't need the hospital. And now he questions heaps of different things when it comes to the system or just anything with doctors in general, with himself or the kids and stuff. And I'm just like, it's awesome once your awareness gets like cracked open and you start, yeah, it's like the blindfold gets taken off, and then you also then get to experience yourself and have the free birth that you've always wanted and envisioned yourself. And then when you go through it and you get to experience it, it's a whole other ball game. But it was the most euphoric experience for me out of all of my labors and pregnancies. That's why I was like, if they were my last babies, because I've got six, if they were my last babies, I'm like, I'm content. Like, I'm grateful. Totally. Like, that was really like the big bang for me.
Yeah, yeah. You got to know.
Yeah.
Birth literally goes pristine.
Yes. And the way that I guess it should be. Yeah. And being like three of each children and everything. God's been good. So I'm very, very grateful for that. But yeah, it's just, I just know now, especially now with like me doing doula work and stuff, it's mostly just trying to give other women the tools and the knowledge that I wish I had being young, because I just didn't. Like, I mean, I was still even mid-20s and still didn't know nothing. Like, and you just are expected to be like, oh, it's a doctor, I trust them. Like, they'll look after me. Or like, it's just like, no. But.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, women, I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of free birth. Don't forget, you can watch all of my podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you will also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you're subscribed. We always have a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out about all of it at freebirthsociety.com. And I am at Free Birth Society on Instagram. Please opt into my newsletter below so that you don't miss a thing. We offer courses on free birth, sovereign birth work, as well as one-on-one coaching, women's retreats, so much. Our exclusive private vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you are looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories fully, claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. Till next time.